And welcome back to Alumni Stadium at halftime. DeSales over Hartley 10-7. Randy Reinhardt, Larry Wolf, Scott Rex, and Greg Savoldi. Numbers for the first half. Hartley, 113 yards of total offense, 103 rushing, 10 passing. DeSales, 105, 90 rushing, 15 passing. Six first downs for DeSales to four for Hartley. Five penalties against Hartley and one turnover. Those five penalties took 35 yards. The one penalty on DeSales was good for 15. They did not have a miscue in the first half. Ruby got the scoring going on a 9-yard run. Agresti with the PAT, a 10-play, 80-yard drive, took 5:22 off the clock. It was 7-0 at the end of one. Then it was all DeSales in the second quarter. DeMaceo with a 19-yard field goal after the fumble by Marquette Dixon. 7 plays, 19 yards, 3:57 off the clock. It was 7-3. Then Booth on a 1-yard run. DeMaceo with a PAT, 8 plays, 58 yards, 2:59 off the clock. And that made it 10-7, which is our halftime score. Booth had 16 carries, 58 yards, and a touchdown. Asamoah had 4 for 30 yards. Silvestri, 1 of 2 passing for 15 yards. On the other side, Marquette Dixon, 6 carries, 35 yards. Manley had 2 for 36. Ruby, 3 for 16. He was 1 of 2 passing for 10 yards, and he has scored his own touchdown in this game. He did that on the ground, one of his 3 carries. Their first drive, 80 yards and a touchdown. Their next 4 drives, 38 yards, no first downs, fumble, punt, punt, and the end of the half.
Well, I'm not sure if the sales made any adjustments after that first series or if their physicality just kind of took over, but right now Hartley has to solve that mystery, and they did a nice job right before the half running the jet sweep into the boundary with an offset backfield, and they had DeSales outnumbered, and that's something DeSales is going to have to fix for a second, because you know they're going to come back with that play. They
right.
have to come back with that
and
play.
And that's the thing. Dixon, I'm surprised he was not as effective as he has been in the past, yet Cameron Culver was extremely effective.
Well, DeSales has the big bodies inside that man-on-man, Hartley's going to struggle to punch holes in that. They're going to get an occasional crease, but they're not going to punch holes in that defense very often. So on the perimeter, they might find some good ground.
And the durability of Alonzo Booth, can he keep this up for four quarters?
Well, if he doesn't, his backup's going to do a great job. So, you know, they've got a two-headed monster. They're a three-headed monster, if you will. And the ability to throw the football. The boot pass was a big play for him a couple times. And this is going to be an interesting second half. Who's going to come out and play better? It's not about the adjustments. It's about playing better. Hartley can't shoot themselves in the foot.
Remember, DeSales won the toss and deferred, so they will receive to start the second half. So it'll be teed up at the 40-yard line. The Hawks will kick off going left to right to start quarter number three in the person of Mateo Agresti, the sophomore who stands 5'10 and soaking wet. He goes about 160 pounds. Approaches the football, and there's the kick, and will it go out of bounds? This time they do let it go out of bounds inside the 20-yard line. We'll bring it out to the 35. 10-7 as we start the second half. And DeSales on offense, the leadership and composure of Cole Silvestri, the transfer that's taken over this program at QB, how do you assess that in the first half?
Well, he did a nice job getting out of the pocket. He did a nice job keeping his cool even on the run where he didn't score the touchdown, but he did punch it down there to the 2- or 3-yard line. Listen, this kid's he's a veteran quarterback. Even though it's his first year at DeSales, you play in a good program like he did at Liberty. He's learned an awful lot, and he brings that here to DeSales with him.
Patrick Moriarty checks in at a tight end. He goes to the top of the formation. Corcoran will be on a wing to the bottom. Van Fossen, the lead back for Booth. Silvestri under center, one wide out, way wide to the bottom of the set on a first and 10 from the 35-yard line. It's Booth time off the right side, and he fights his way up to around the 37, maybe the 38-yard line.
You know, an interesting thing is going on down here at the bottom. We've got JoJo. JoJo Arnold, one-on-one out here. There is not another Hartley defender within 20 yards. And McFeeters has him all over the field. He's going with him. He's matching up one-on-one. So they think McFeeters can take JoJo Arnold one-on-one. That's an interesting thing because DeSales might try to exploit that.
He was wide to the bottom. Now he goes all the way across the field. He's wide at the top. Backs again from the eye with the wing to the bottom.
Oh.
Big opening to the outside. Across midfield. 45-40. And again, something happened there. Alonzo was the first man to the corner.
DeSales caved in the entire side of the Hartley defense. And if it wasn't for Cameron Culver trying to stretch that out, and the last thing Cameron wants to do is run into Booth in the open field. But Cameron Culver did a nice job getting him to the ground.
Gain of 21 on the play. Knocked down at the 42-yard line of the Hawks. First and 10 from there, 43 seconds into the second half. Corcoran adjusts to the top. Arnold way wide to that side. So Vestry bounces back and forth to talk to the line. Backs are offset now slightly. Booth gets the toss straight ahead. Almost looks like the toss play that the Hartley Hawks like to run, and he gets it down to the 40-yard line.
Hartley did a nice job defending it that time. Jack Baughman came up on the inside and filled the hole and forced Booth to cut it back. That wasn't a design cutback, but Booth cut it back and got a yard or two, and that's about all he could get.
Six solos, 11 assists, one tackle for loss for Jack coming into this contest. 6'2", 210, and a senior. Going to mark him down at the 41-yard line. So Booth actually gets just a long gain of one on the play. Second and nine from there. A couple times now Booth has been the first man to the corner. And that waggle pass has worked pretty well, too. And Booth. Silvestri's going to take it around the right side and look downfield and throw it at the last minute, and the pass is incomplete. As he was almost going down, he threw it 20 yards downfield and bounced it into the turf of the 21-yard line.
It's a good thing he did bounce it because that ball was going to be picked. Cameron Culver had that pick easily. He came from a safety spot and undercut the route on the outside, and he was the most wide-open receiver over there. The Sales ran a one-man pattern that time, and so it was easy for the corner and the safety to match up.
And the Stallions change hands personnel, if you will. They bring in McNally and Noble and send them to the top. Booth is now the up-back offset. Asamoah is the deep man.
It's a boot pass.
Third down and nine from the 41. Toss, sweep. It goes to Asamoah around the corner. Accelerates 40, 35, and maybe the 35. Knocked down closer to 36. There's a flag at the 39-yard line, and it's going against the Sales. Now, what do you do here if you're the Hawks?
You take the penalty. Because the Sales is in four down territory and they only need 3 yards. You need to take the penalty. They're not the kind of offense that wants to go third and 20.
So Peaks will check back in now. It's a block in the back. And the ball back at the 50-yard line. So yeah. It'll be third down and 18.
This might be one of those times where you max protect and you send JoJo Arnold one-on-one on McFeeters and try to beat him. Because he's out here by himself again.
Wide to the bottom. Too wide to the top. Silvestri does a lot of running, talking back and forth to both ends of the line. One back in the backfield, that's Booth. He scoots out to the right. A throw back to the other side. Oh, dangerous pass. And brought down on the play is Peaks. Good penetration. That was almost a floater. He had to throw it all the way back across the field. And a nice hit by Elijah Carter coming up from the secondary to knock him down back at the 49-yard line for a loss of one.
He rolled out a half roll to the right and threw all the way back to the left. If he could have thrown that pass on a line, the Sales had a tackle coming out the block. He just couldn't get there in time. And Elijah Carter made a great play for Hartley Hawks.
It was like a throwback to the world's largest and longest bubble screen. Demasio standing back to punt at his own 36-yard line. Got it. Has plenty of time. And booms, a rocket shot inside the 20-yard line, but it exits stage left. Boy, that thing had height like you wouldn't believe.
Yep.
We should mention as we look straight across from us, we're watching a full moon just ascending heavenward right now on a gorgeous night for high school football. Let's see where they marked the ball out of bounds. That had such height to that ball, and unfortunately for him, it found the sideline. See, right around the 15-yard line, 36 yards on that punt. It looked like it was destined to head out towards Carl Road. So first and 10 now for the Hawks. From the 15-yard line, their first possession of the second half, they're down 3 to DeSales. DeSales number 1 in the state in Division 3, according to the AP poll, and the Hawks number 5 in the state in Division 4.
DeSales is perfectly happy to play this kind of game. This is a field position game. Hartley's gotten the ball on the short side of the 20, probably 4 or 5 of the last times they've
Cone,
had the ball.
The lone back of the backfield, and Nick will just find a little gap and fight his way forward to around the 19-yard line.
It's tough for any offense to drive the ball 85 yards. It's really good. You have penalties and other things that happen, and DeSales is perfectly happy to play this game.
Cone known for his blocking, but against Central Crossing, he had 2 1-yard touchdown runs. The contest we worked on earlier this season on AMA 20. Gain of out to the 19-yard line, second and 6 from there, under 9 minutes left to go third quarter. The Hawks peer to the sidelines, check their wristbands for the play.
I mean, Cone's a running back at 6'4", 230.
Yeah.
My goodness.
Toss sweep near side. It's Dixon to the short side of the field. Great penetration, but he gets through it, and he's got the first down. Out to near the 30-yard line before he's whipped down on the play by number 97, Brandon Darrow.
McLucky nearly broke through for DeSales. He had him wrapped up a little bit and just couldn't bring him down. Marquette Dixon just broke right through the tackle.
Picks up 10 on the play, so mark it out to the 29, make it the 30-yard line. First and 10 from there.
Instead of a four-yard loss, it's a 10-yard gain and a first down. And Hartley desperately needed that first down.
Isn't it always frightening as a coach when you run it to the short side, though, sometimes?
Well, I mean, you think that there's – obviously, you got the sideline in your way. But if you crease it and you get it up, you get to the edge quicker sometimes because of the shorter formation. You only have two guys on that side sometimes.
Whitney and Manley to the bottom. Dixon in motion, bottom to top, gets the handoff in stride across the 30-yard line and fights his way out to the 34. Should mention Whitney has one catch on the season, but that's good for a touchdown. So nice game by Marquette Dixon, who's not really been a factor in this contest so far.
Not yet. Brandon Darrow did a nice job that time on the edge for the Stallions to blow up that play and catch it from behind. Still a 4 or 5 yard gain. Every time Hartley's starting to get a little mojo going here.
Darrow, this transfer student from St. Charles, gain of 4, second and 6 from the 34. One wide to the top of the formation, 3 to the bottom, 1 back in the backfield. That's Dixon in motion, bottom to top. Toss sweep, far side, across the 30-yard line, out to around the 39. That was Nick Onaga, I believe, on the carry, getting his first carry in this contest. He had 8 against Toledo Central Catholic for 80 yards and rushed for about 300 yards last year. So far in this campaign, 12 carries altogether, good for 117 yards.
That was Darrow and McNally pinching the ball carry out on the left side that time. Darrow had the inside, McNally came on the outside, and they pinched it together and cut him down for a 4-yard gain.
Third and 1 from the 39, 7:27 left to go. Blackman in motion, bottom to top. Cone the lead back, Dixon the deep man, gets the handoff, takes it right up the left side and goes across the 40, the 45, up to the 49-yard line before he's brought down. And some extra pushing and shoving near the end of that play, but the Hawks playing with some fire now. Have a first down near midfield with 7:16 left.
Defense right now. And Marquette Dixon starting to downhill.
Gain of 11 on the play, mark it right at the 50-yard line, touching the purple stripe in the middle of this field in Stallion land here. Manley to the bottom. And Hartley, like the Sales, changing the personnel in the backfield a fair amount of time. We'll see about 6 or 7 specialty guys go in and out.
Jet sweep. Nope.
Little misdirection handoff to Dixon off the left side. 45-40. Marquette 35-30. Down the sidelines 25-20. And brought down at the 17-yard line. Long run that time, and that was just speed once he hit the hole. And Andre White saved the touchdown after a gain of 33 yards on the play.
Hartley had the running backs offset to the right. They faked a jet sweep to the right and ran the counter play back to the left. Very good play for Hartley.
First and 10. For the Hawks, from the Stallions' 17-yard line, 6:40 left to go.
And again, Marquette Dixon running downhill.
He's got 10 carries for 93 yards, more already in the second half than he had in the first half.
Absolutely.
In just 5.5 minutes of stanza number 3. Tight set this time. Cone is the up back. Misdirection. It's Blackman who gets the handoff, has a seam inside the 15, and carries defenders inside the 10, down to the 8, and to the 7-yard line. There's another guy that can punish you, an Alexander Blackman. Blackman is 5'11", 215, and he is a junior, and he can move and carry people as far as he wants to and gets them all the way down to the 7.
Well, these teams are almost carbon copies of each other. I mean, they're big, they're physical, they're athletic, they've got big physical running backs. It's just an all-out punch-him-in-the-mouth kind of game.
This is classic Hartley football right here on this drive.
Mm-hmm.
With Cone the up man and Dixon the deep man. 5:55 left to go, third quarter and ticking. First and goal from inside the 8. Ruby under center on the counter play. Spinning and fighting and fighting and still fighting and carrying the pile with him. And finally going down at the 4-yard line. That was Blackman again. He must have carried two defenders about 10 yards sideways.
Yeah, sideways. They probably should have blown the whistle, but I think they thought, well, he might just break away from this thing, so let it go. It's the exact same play they ran earlier, and they repeated it. So now we're talking second down at the 5.
Blackman now came into this contest. 15 carries, good for 80 yards and 2 touchdowns. He did lose one fumble on the campaign. Second and goal. Ball resting just inside the 5-yard line with 5:10 left to go. Hawks down in this one, 10-7. Again, they check the wristband. Ruby under center with Cone and Dixon. Is it Dixon time?
Absolutely.
Blackman in motion.
Toss.
Top to bottom. Does he go far side or near side? He goes near side with the toss, finds the gap, and hits it like a hurricane and takes it into the end zone for a touchdown with 4:50 left to go, and Hartley back on top now, 13-10. Well, he just exploded at the line of scrimmage.
He took off from about the 3-yard line and dove and ended up a couple yards into the end zone that time. He was not going to be denied. He is running the football in the second half the way he's run the football all year.
Well, he plays angry football, and I don't think he was angry in the first half. Well, that's the way it's described by Brad Birchfield.
Somebody got him angry at halftime then, because he's a whole different animal this half.
Don't forget, Larry and I will pick our Martin J. Mitchell Insurance Good Hands player of the game. And Martin's a former linebacker as the extra point is deflected, but still makes it through for the extra point.
That's a huge point. That is a huge point.
Martin, a former linebacker, and understands how being in the right place at the right time is essential. Let him make sure you're ready for any emergency. Check out their location at 3816 Fischinger Boulevard in Hilliard, 614-529-4259. We'll pause for 30 seconds on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820.
This is Bobby Dawes for Bob Boyd Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Lancaster, where the deals have never been better than during the Ram Power Days. Save up to $11,000 on new 2016 Ram Crew Cab 4x4s or get 0% financing for 72 months on all new 2016 Ram 1500s. Shop us 24/7 at bobboyd.com. Come see us at Bob Boyd Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram in Lancaster, where the best deals you'll see are always on Route 33. Good people, great deals. It's the Bob Boyd way.
Devin Dukes with another touchdown run for the Silver Knights, and Reedy has a 21-14 lead over Lima Central Catholic.
And Ryan Marquette Dixon, 5 carries on that drive, good for 62 yards. And that was a 9-play, 85-yard drive that took 4:37 off the clock there. So kick by Agresti, and the return's going to start from the 23 across the 30. The 35 and up to the 37-yard line. So good swarming tackle, but a nice return by the Stallions along the far side, and they will have decent field position with 4:45 left to go. And if you're DeSales, does this change anything that you want to do right now?
No. You're going to do what you do, because this is what this game is about. It's who's going to punch the other guy last. And right now, DeSales had the first chance in the second half and couldn't do anything with it. Hartley took the ball and went the distance.
The moon has escaped into the back pocket of the clouds for now.
Wow. Poetic.
I can be Fonzie-like at times. It's Booth and Osamoah in the backfield. Too wide to the bottom. First and 10 from the 39-yard line. Osamoah sidesteps one defender. Well, I think that was Amaya who was into the backfield at the 35-yard line. He said, whoop, I won't go right, I'll go left instead. And he got back to the line of scrimmage and not much more.
If you just look at the body language on both benches, it's completely reversed now. In the first half, the sales seem to be energized and jumping around. Now Hartley seems like they've got a little swagger to their step.
No gain on the play. Second down and 10. 4:20 left to go. Hawks up by 4 over the Stallions. Week number 4. As we said, it feels like a playoff game, and some would say it's the unofficial CCL championship. Maybe a little early to determine that, but a lot riding when it comes to kind of getting that postseason party, too, especially for the Hawks when you look at some of their opponents on the schedule. Osamoah comes out wide to the bottom. That play was out of sync. The ball was never snapped. Everybody moved, and we'll have a false start on the offense. We had 9 guys move for the Stallions. Everybody moved but the center and the quarterback.
I'm guessing somebody made a mistake there. I don't think that's how Ryan drew it up.
So move it back to the 34-yard line.
See, now those are the penalties that will drive you crazy in this kind of offense, because you just don't have a second and 15 kind of play.
Is it boot time again?
It could be. They've got the wide side of the field here. If Booth is offset to this side, and he's not, no, I think they'll run it here.
Backs from an eye. Booth on a straight handoff up across the 35, backs his way to the 38, tries to break away. He cannot. And I think he lost his helmet on the play, so he's going to have to check out for a play.
And put some duct tape around that baby and hold it on.
He'll check out. Van Fossen will check in. Osamoah will stay in the backfield, too.
Well, this is probably their best set of receivers on the field, though. So, and it's third and about, what?
Third and just about 10 again.
Yep.
So you've got the likes of McNally out there. You got Osamoah. You've got Noble. Silvestri looks to the sidelines. Van Fossen. You've got Moriarty as a tight end. Are they going to go ahead and burn a timeout? Booth now 20 carries, 87 yards, and one touchdown. Check the back judge. 5 seconds, 4.
They're not going to get it
off.
3, 2.
They'll have to take a timeout with 3:10 left to go. And they'll burn it. We'll take a timeout for 30 seconds. 14-10 Hartley on the CCL Game of the Week on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820.
scholarships are available from Education First Credit Union. With the fast rising cost of college tuition, free money is as important as ever. Education First has awarded over $140,000 in scholarships to deserving students. To learn more about Education First Credit Union or to request a scholarship application, contact us today. Education First Credit Union is an equal housing opportunity lender and federally insured by the National Credit Union Administration.
Brian Baker back in the AM 820 studios. They're at the half, and Hilliard-Bradley has a 28-20 lead over Hilliard-Darby. Olentangy Liberty leads Hilliard-Davidson 21-0. And also at the half, Pick North has a 21-10 lead over Westerville Central. Don't forget, get all the scores after the game with the AM 820 scoreboard show right here.
And go to the website, too, AM820scoreboard.com, and you can follow the guys on Twitter at AM820scoreboard as well, too. We mentioned a lot of rivalry games this week, too, and Bradley with the upper hand over Darby as well. So third down and 10 from the 39-yard line. Silvestri rolling left, looking, going long downfield, and one-on-one, you mentioned it, and there's pass interference. It was Arnold and McFeeters, and they tossed the flag inside the 20. They threw a rocket downfield, but there was contact all the way down, and the flag is tossed at the 19-yard line.
The amazing thing is that the Sales had Ryan Peaks open underneath. He had run the out route underneath at about 12 to 15 yards, and instead they went deep and tried to beat McFeeters, and what happened was JoJo Arnold undercut the defender and drew the contact. It looked like a basketball player drawing contact.
Everybody ran down to the 19-yard line, but folks, pass interference goes from that line, 15 yards across midfield, all the way down to the 46-yard line. So that's where the Stallions will maintain possession and keep their drive alive with 3:03 left to go, and they're down by 4 points here in this contest. 3-0 for DeSales. Hartley 2-1 on the campaign.
Booth and Asamoah back in the backfield again.
McNally way wide to the top, two wide to the bottom, including Peaks, backs from an eye. It's Asamoah who's got it and puts his head down and churns to the 42-yard line as Amaya has been very active. He helps make that hit again, big number 77.
The Sales has gone to more of a spread-like formation with a slot on the one side and a wide receiver on the other side to try and get guys out of the box. And Hartley's pretty much just manning it up and just saying, we're going to stay in the box. We're not going to let you get us out of the box. So the Sales are going to have to throw the football against this man-to-man coverage. Or if it's not man-to-man, it looks like man-to-man.
Well, they were successful going to Arnold earlier here. He's got the same matchup with McFeeters again. Second down and 6. Toss it goes to Asamoah right up the gut and stood up at the 41-yard line. Great penetration that time by Thomas Kazmir.
Hartley set the edge on that one. Number 21, James Reese III came up and just set the edge, and he wouldn't let him get outside, made him cut back inside.
So third down and 4 as Jordan Smith kind of hobbles off the field. On the far side for the Hawks. Arnold to the top. Moriarty the tight end of that side as well, too. Van Fossen the up back now for Booth. Is it Booth time here? Corcoran the tight end to the bottom. Yep, Alonzo's got it and puts his head down and carries defenders down to the 35 and has the first down for the Stallions as the clock reads 1:41 left to go in quarter number 3.
I'm telling you, there's going to be a lot of bruises in the morning. They're going to need some ice. This is a pounding on both sides. I mean, Hartley's not giving any quarter, and DeSales isn't asking for any. It's just
So as a coach, do you like this kind of game?
I always like these kinds of games.
From the 35, Booth again to the left side. Gets a block, takes it downfield inside the 25. Looks like he's got a little more than 10 again. We'll move the sticks one more time with 90 seconds left in the third quarter. And rapidly, DeSales to the line of scrimmage. One wide to the top, backs from an eye. Booth again. Boom. Undercut this time. Great penetration that time. Guy you mentioned a little earlier, James Reese III, the linebacker shooting through to make the hit for a loss.
Yeah, he's been very active back there. He's been run blitzing all night, and he just did a great job of finding the crease in the offensive line and pitchforking it and getting there 4 and 5 yards deep.
And we've got a Hawk down on the field right at the 24-yard line as they attend to him with 1:17 left to go. We'll break for 30 seconds here on the CCL Game of the Week as presented by the Mount Carmel Foundation here on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820.
Ohio Dominican University is Central Ohio's only Catholic university with an education that stretches your mind and strengthens your Catholic faith.
U.S. News and World Report calls ODU a top-tier Midwest university.
High-achieving students will want to explore our honors program or early admission programs to med school or physician assistant studies.
And some of our master's programs, including our MBA, are available with just one extra year of study.
Connect your passion with God's purpose for your life.
Learn more at ohiodominican.edu.
Big game in the Mid-State League tonight. Columbus Academy has a 24-7 lead over Grandview. In the Battle of Worthington, Kilbourne leads Thomas 31-0. And Lancaster has a 35-0 lead over Newark.
Wow. And finally getting up to his feet for the Hawks, it's Thomas Kazmir.
Yep. They can ill afford to lose him.
He's a little gimpy. You think that was a cramping situation?
It's definitely a cramp, but once it starts, it's hard to stop those things.
Booth now with his last run hit the century mark. 23 carries, good for 100 yards for Alonzo, and one touchdown in this contest.
And Kazmir goes both ways for him, and that's a big loss. I mean, Patrick Gilliland is now in for Kazmir, but you know they're gonna lose him on both sides of the ball here if they can't get these cramps under control. It's a hot night. It's one of those deals.
Second down, and let's call it 12 from back at the 27-yard line. 1:17 left to go, third quarter. DeSales driving down by four in this contest, 14-10. Backs offset this time. Asamoah, the deep man, gets a toss, takes it off the right tackle, and brought down right around the 25-yard line. The ball scoots free at the end of the play, but he was already on the turf.
And Alexander Blackman was in on that tackle, and he's a little banged up. He's gimping around now for Hartley.
He grabbed the leg. I think he got kicked as well, too, and now he's gimpy as he goes back.
Yep.
To his linebacking slot. Going to stay in there?
Yeah, he's
now he's got to come out.
Puppy. Yep.
I think Dixon will check in for him.
Doesn't look too serious.
He's hopping off the field. The Sales gets the playoff, gets it off. No. Silvestri rolling left, now right. Pressure's on. Looks downfield, guns it underneath, and kind of throws it away. And there's a flag downfield at the 14-yard line.
We've got a hold on Hartley in the secondary. The DeSales receiver went down the seam, stopped, and took off deep. And Hartley, I don't know who it was, one of the linebackers grabbed him, just held him.
Mark Riley says we've got holding on the defense. Yep.
That, I was watching the linebacker grab, and I can't remember, I don't know what the number was for DeSales. I think it was a tight end going right down the seam, and that's who they were going to go to because it was cleared out. There was no safety in the middle. And
James Reese now has a little hitch in his giddy up as well, too. And we're going to have a timeout taken.
Oh.
And a flag.
That's on Brad Birchfield. He's not happy.
Hawks take a timeout and a flag at the same time. So with 29 ticks left to go, well, wait for something here. Birchfield is all the way out on the field. He's trying to get Mark Riley away from everybody else down at the 27-yard line. We'll keep it here for a minute here because he's having a one-on-one with our referee right now. He kept the players back at the 20-yard line. Now they're going to the sidelines. Riley's walking back to the 30. Birchfield's walking back with him.
Well, you're going to have a half the distance here, so it's going to be at the 7-yard line, first and goal at the 7.
Bad Birchfield is backing up, arms folded, walking backwards toward the sidelines. Our referee and our umpire kind of acting as escorts on either side of him as they kind of slowly corral him back to the sidelines.
Well, I had a pretty good look at that one, and it looked like the defender just grabbed him by the arm and just turned him in a circle and wouldn't let him go the distance.
And Brad is not backing down. He's back past the numbers on the far side of the field, still having his case heard by Mark Riley.
The thing he's doing right now is he's getting about a two-minute timeout for his kids, too. So that's not such a bad deal. It cost him 15 yards. He's not real happy. And that wasn't what his design was. Obviously, he was angry about the call. I think when he sees it on film, he'll at least recognize that it's probably a good call.
Well, didn't the Hawks take a timeout?
I don't know.
I think they did. They signaled timeout. They still have three listed on the scoreboard. Mark Riley signaled for a timeout. So.
Well, this is Asamoah time or Booth time.
It's first and goal with the ball at the 8-yard line. 28 ticks left to go third quarter. Backs offset slightly. Asamoah the deep man. Booth up front. Osmo's got it. Looks for Gap off the right side of the five to the angle, and he takes it in for the touchdown. Slides at the back of the end zone, gets the score, and now the Stallions are up 16-14 with 23 seconds left to go in the third.
Alonzo Booth with a great block on the outside. Hartley came up quick on the outside to pinch, and Alonzo just pushed him straight out and created the seam and was off to the races.
There's a guy that looks fresh right now in Osamoa. I'll tell you what, Brian is leaping in the air after the touchdown three different times. That's a guy that wants the football desperately in the stretch drive here.
Well, there's another guy on the other sideline, too. His name is Dixon. He's going to want the football back.
That's what makes this game so special.
Absolutely.
Damasio trying to make it a three-point cushion for the Stallions. Snap, kick, it is up. Plenty of leg. It's good. Timeout. 17-14 to Sales. 23 ticks left in quarter number three. Stick around. It'll be a lot of fun right here on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AMA 20.
Malik & Malik, a family-owned law firm that provides quality and compassionate legal representation in the Columbus, Ohio region for people who have suffered injuries and deserve proper compensation. Our Columbus, Ohio attorneys are dedicated to helping you recover your rightful compensation for job-related and worker compensation injuries, as well as injuries resulting from car and truck accidents, dog bite claims, and more. Visit us at maliklawfirm.com.
Hilliard Davidson has kicked a field goal. They still trail Olentangy Liberty 21-3, though. And at the half, Grove City and Marysville are tied at 14.
There you go. Here we just had a touchdown, and it's now 17-14 after the extra point. Osamoa takes it in 8 yards away, and Damasio with a PAT. 9 plays, 61 yards on that drive, 4:22 off the clock. And I'm checking, and even though I saw a signal for a timeout, they're leaving 3 on the board for Hartley, 2 on the board for DeSales. We have the penalty against Brad Birchfield and the crew. So we'll see what happens.
Well, here we go, boys. Nobody seems to be able to stop anybody right now, and they're both great defenses, so it just tells you about the offense execution.
The caliber of the teams.
They won't quit, that's for sure, I promise.
Damasio with a boot. He loves the end zone, and he will send it there again on the fly, 6 yards deep.
I don't think he's taking this kicking thing very seriously. That was only 67 yards. He's got to do better. I mean, he was short of the field goal. He's got to do better. I'll have to talk to Ryan Wigman.
I always felt that if you made it through the crossbars and crossed the upright, you should get 3 points on the kickoff. Why not?
Listen, the kickers decide too many games now at the upper levels. We don't need those guys.
Do you like moving the extra point back in the NFL?
Yes.
I'd like to
make them go for two. Get rid of the kickers altogether.
First and 10, Hawks now down by 3 with 23 ticks left to go from their 20-yard line. Ruby now, 3 backs in the backfield. Checking out is Culver. Ruby rolling on a boot to his right, looking, pressure's on, and he throws it into the stands.
This is the same route they ran earlier with a tight end dragging across the field. The problem this time, Cameron Culver got too deep. If he had stayed at about 4 or 5 yards, it would have created space for the tight end dragging, and he got too close together, and he had to throw it away.
It's the third annual evening with the Hawks coming up Saturday, October the 15th at Bishop Hartley High School, 5:30 to 7 p.m., a social and a basket raffle, 7 to 11, the dinner and the program. Check with the high school for more information about that as they honor the 2016 Athletic Hall of Fame class. Second down and 10 from the 20. Dixon time, perhaps?
It's always Dixon time. This looks like the jet sweep formation.
Could be Culver, then. Nope. It's Dixon, and there's nothing there. Ooh, a guy's name we haven't called much tonight was waiting for him that time, Darius Mullins.
And we have a flag downfield.
At the 24-yard line.
Might have been a cut block downfield.
A crew forming a pinstripe circle, if you will, at the 20-yard line. Mr. Riley says, personal foul against the Hawks.
Yep, one of the offensive linemen for Hartley went downfield and cut one of the defensive backs. And in high school, you can't do that. You can't cut block. Can't block below the waist downfield like that.
So the ball will find its way back to the 10-yard line. 9 seconds left in the third quarter.
I don't know if they would have normally seen that, but there was only one player down there.
Yeah.
And just by himself.
It's like on a stage in a showcase there.
Yeah, he just stood out.
So the ball goes back to the 10.
And he got 20 yards to go, third and 20. Now, I'll be surprised, but DeSales in press coverage here. And that kind of surprises
me. And this will
end
the third quarter. They don't have to run another play, so the Hawks will get a chance to regroup before the end of the quarter. 12 minutes awaits. Let's see what happens. DeSales leads by 3 for now over Hartley, 17-14. This is the CCL Game of the Week, presented by the Mount Carmel Foundation on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AMA 20.
Because your heart is what really makes your world go round. And because you have touched the hearts of others in ways no one else can. At Mount Carmel, you are the reason we are constantly adopting new heart care treatments. Why we've assembled the best in the treatment of heart and vascular disease. And why we provide specially trained clinicians for the most serious heart patients. So you can receive the special care you need every step of the way. Through your hospital treatment, and after you return home, so you can get back to the life you love. At Mount Carmel, you'll receive the best heart care from a dedicated team that's always focused on you. Because there's no one else like you, and no other heart quite like yours. Mount Carmel, because of you. Learn more about our patient-centered care at mountcarmelhealth.com.
Devin Dukes has his fourth touchdown of the game, and Reedy's doubling up Lima Central Catholic 28-14.
Total offense, Hartley 197, DeSales 161, 187 rushing for the Hawks, 147 for the Stallions. 11 first downs for DeSales to 8 for the Hawks. 9 penalties, 83 yards against Hartley, 3 for 30 against DeSales. 1 turnover, that fumble by Dixon in the first half. It's 17-14, DeSales leads. Hartley has the football 90 yards away. It's going to be 3rd down and 20 from the 10-yard line.
Well, they got two possibilities here, I think. One would be the jet sweep with Cameron Culver.
You got Manley down here with McNally one-on-one. Culver in motion. Ruby looking, going back to the way. It's going to be a screen.
Oh, Lordy. It's big.
Across the 15, the 20, the 25, up to the 30, the 35. They've got the yardage. They've got the first down up across the 45-yard line. And on a play that you don't see run that often by Bishop Hartley, they get the first down. Do they go to the tight end, I believe? I think that was the far side of the field. Annika makes the catch for 34 yards. They're going to mark him out at the 44-yard line. So Nick Onega.
It's a huge play for the Hawks. Gets them out of the hole, gets some momentum going their way. They're only down 3. Got a full quarter to go. That was a huge play because the DeSales could have gotten off the field on defense or they'd have gotten the ball on the short side.
I'm looking. I don't see any receiving stats for Nick Onega from this year at all. So Onega with a big play. Blackman in motion, top to bottom, backs offset on a first and 10 from the 44. Toss it goes to Dixon. Out across the 45. Midfield fights, churns, all the way down near the Stallion 45-yard line. And Mr. Moe is going to flow the other way for now.
Yeah, it sure is. It looks like the jumping beings over there on the Hartley sideline. They're all energized. They're all jumping around. They know that was a big play.
Boy, and that was a surprise play, too. And Onega, too, of all people, getting the ball and taking it 34 yards down along the far sidelines there. He got the block, Larry, at the 8-yard line. And once he got that, he was free until about the 30 and made the rest of the yardage, the final 13 yards on his own.
It was kind of surprising that DeSales wouldn't be in some kind of just normal flat zone where you just defend all that.
First and 10 from the 45. Cohn checks out of the backfield. Lead blocker now for Dixon. Dixon fights and squirms his way inside the 40-yard line on that toss sweep with 11-11 left to go in the quarter.
You know, DeSales was in a press coverage there on this side of the field, and there was only one defender on the backside when they snuck that guy out into the flats for the screen pass. There was nobody home.
From the 45, they go to the 40. Second down, they're halfway home. They need 5 more.
Oh, they've got 3 downs to get it. This is definitely 4 down territory.
Blackman, Culver, Cohn, Manley.
This game just got shorter, didn't it? Hartley's going to take the air out of this thing.
Dixon now, 14 carries, 112 yards, and a touchdown. He and Luth have comparable numbers in this contest. Stallion showing blitz, and they're coming with a middle linebacker. Hit off goes to Culver. Nearly broke it. Hit the gap. Got tripped up at the 38. Falls forward to the 35. And gets all the way down to inside the 35, near the 34, near the far hash. And that's enough for a Hawk first down with 10:26 left.
Well, DeSales is going to have to bow the neck a little bit here and stop this Hartley drive because Hartley's getting close to field goal range.
The Hawks looking at the wristband one more time on their left arms. Culver's been the deep back here. Again, offset with Cone in front of him.
Quarterback keep.
Ruby, which way?
This way. Coming right toward us. Nope. It is quarterback.
He goes to the short side, though. Ruby on the keeper inside the 30 to the 27, maybe the 26-yard line.
Right now I'm seeing an awful lot of purple land on the field. Hartley is just coming off the ball a little bit harder on this drive. It's like a heavyweight fight, you know?
Cody Kirkbride with a cover-up block there just laid on his defender and knocked him down at the 33 to spring that gap. It's second down and a long three. They keep it on the ground. And Cone fighting for yardage. Got near the 25. Has to get to the 24. So the Hawks are going to be about a yard shy of the first down. Third down now with 9:28 ticking here in the fourth quarter. DeSales on top of Hartley, 17-14.
Well, and that block extra point that actually found its way through the uprights is looming big now. But instead of being down four and needing a touchdown, they're only down three.
Probably out of McCresty's field goal range still.
Yes, yes.
Backs offset, third down and one from the 25. 9:05 and ticking. Toss sweep. Inside the 25, they fight, they churn, and they've got the first down to around the 23, maybe the 22-yard line. Culver on the carry. Nick Cone was looking for somebody to block when he went around the right side, didn't see anybody, and he realized he was too far downfield.
All the purple shirts have been knocked down. This is a very impressive drive by Hartley.
First and 10 from the 22 now. And Dixon back in there now, along with Cone. Blackman on a wing to the top on this first down play from the 22. 8:43. Again, you talked about a drive that will milk the clock. So the Hartley Hawks are trying to do. Eat up time. Classic Hawk football here. Again, the backs offset. Tight set, nobody wide. Dixon between the tackles. Hits the hole hard, but brought down inside the 20 at the 19.
I'm not sure exactly how you create a hole. It looks like a scrum in there. Every player on the field was within 3 or 4 yards of the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, 20 guys in that pile.
And it was just a ginormous scrum. Body land on body, and he just jumped over the top. Got 3 yards.
Got to the 19-yard line. Second down and seven. From there, as we look at the clock, approaching 8 minutes left to go in regulation.
We're getting close to field goal range. Be about 36 right now.
That's not something that Brad Birchfield likes to contemplate. Blackman in motion, top to bottom, taps the quarterback Ruby on a wing to the bottom. They go to the left side now. Dixon with a gap inside the 15-yard line. Fights, churns down to around the 10-yard line. Has enough for another Hawk first down. The Stallions hang on to bring him down and prevent the touchdown with 7:45 left to go.
Well, the Stallion defense got to rise up here. It is first and goal just inside the 10-yard line, and Hartley has to, or DeSales has to come up with a stop. And Alonzo Booth is going in to play defense right now.
You are listening to WVSG Columbus, St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. Randy Reinhart, Larry Wolf, Scott Rex, Greg Savaldi, glad to have you aboard. First down and goal from right at the 10-yard line, 7:29 at DeSales up 17-14.
DeSales has taken out their safety and added a lineman.
Dixon, well, you take your pick. He got inside the 8-yard line, and there were like six bodies. It was
tackled
like a double triangle.
Tackled by eight people, but I think
McLucky was there early.
Brian Osamoah was in there, too.
Yep, 64 and 6 coming in there to wrap him up. Gain of a couple on the play, second down and goal. With everybody pinching to the inside, if you're the Hawks, do you contemplate faking it that way and go outside?
I think that's what DeSales is thinking because they took Booth back out, and they put Andre White back in at safety.
Second down and goal from the 8 now. This drive, 12 plays, 5.5 minutes. Toss, it goes to Dixon, far side. Puts his head down and gets maybe inside the 6-yard line. Stays in bounds with 6:40 left to go.
And Hartley's perfectly happy to take as much time off this clock as possible because they do not want the sales to have the football and time. Right now we're at 6:30. Third down, 5 or 6?
Third and goal from the 6. Again, they peer at their wristbands. Dixon in there. Culver in there.
Watch for Jake Ruby here.
I'm going to say Ruby or Culver.
This could be the boot for Hartley.
Darrell readjusts to the top of the formation. He was the D end of the bottom on a third down and goal from the 6-yard line. 6:05 left to go. Dixon the lone back. A little boot by Ruby. Looks, throws, and overthrows the receiver in the end zone. It's incomplete. Looking for George Kirkbride, the tight end, and then it was fourth down, and let's see if they opt for three here.
Now, remember the last time that Hartley tried to kick. The kick was nearly blocked by number 61, Luke Barber, inside. So here we go.
Matteo Agresti has made a field goal on the season. Week one was his first varsity game for the sophomore.
None bigger than this one.
Boffman to hold. It'll be about a 23-24-yard attempt. From the far hash, is that an advantage or disadvantage?
Well, it gives you a block point on this side. You can outnumber him here on this side if you rush from the wide side of the field, because he has to kick it over the guard to make the kick.
5:57 left. There's the snap. There's the kick. It is up, and it is good. We are tied at 17 with 5:52 left to go in this one. We'll pause for 30 seconds. Don't you dare go away from the CCL Game of the Week here on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820.
Education First Credit Union is dedicated to providing our members the best possible loan and savings rates in a friendly and professional manner. We offer savings and checking accounts, certificates of deposit, investment and retirement accounts, and loans including auto, home, and personal. Education First Credit Union is an equal housing opportunity lender, NMLS number 811029, and federally insured by the National Credit Union Administration.
Dublin Kaufman has just scored again. They lead Olentangy 28-0.
That is a shocker to me.
Well, it's just about time for Old Tangy to get rolling.
Well, it's about 2 hours early, but anyway. Agresti, 23-yard field goal, 15 plays, 74 yards, 6:31 off the clock, and a brand-new game at 17. Thoughts that go through your mind, Larry, with 5:52 left to go. If you're DeSales, what are you thinking, and then Hartley?
Well, DeSales is going to do what they do. They've got plenty of time. They've got 6 minutes on the clock. Hartley has to stop DeSales, because DeSales will just take Garrett out of the ball and go down and kick a field goal. And they've got the weapon to do it.
Agresti digging deep. Approaches the ball. And a line drive kick this time. It's going to hop inside the 25 to the 20. And it will trickle out of bounds. It was not touched by Arnold. So we'll bring it out to the 35-yard line with 5:52 left to go. And DeSales will have the ball on offense. And it seems like a light year since they last touched it.
It was. You know, that huge third and 20 screen pass that went for, I don't know, 35 or 40 yards. That's right now, that's the play of the game. That is the play of the game.
The pass to Nick Onigan. And don't forget, we have to pick our Martin J. Mitchell Insurance Good Hands Player of the Game. Martin with two locations, including 3816 Fischinger Boulevard, 614-529-4259. Martin, thank you for your great support of the Central Catholic League. And Larry will present that award at the end of this contest. And talk to the winning coach as well, too. First and 10, Stallions from their own 35-yard line. They have two timeouts remaining, each team with two timeouts remaining. Toss, Booth, near that's side. Cool. First one to the corner again, across the 40, the 45, and pushed out of bounds. Larry, that's happened five or six times as Cody Kirkbride pushes him out again. Why is he first in the corner at 6-1 and 245?
Well, because DeSales is doing a great job of reaching, which means they're out. Positioning the defense end for Hartley, and they're just outrunning him downhill to the corner. And it's a short toss. It's not like a big wide sweep. It's a short toss off the edge.
Picks up 12, first and 10 from the 47. 5:46 left to go.
Unbalanced line.
Yep, to the top. Backs offset. Van Fossen and Booth. Alonso to the left side. Cuts back to the right. Looks for a gap across midfield. Down to the 45. Puts his head down. Carries defenders to the 41-yard line. The Hawks try to strip the football. And falls forward to the 40. And the Stallions have another first down with 5:38 left to go. And he lost his helmet again. Booth will have to check out for a play.
He's got to just get some duct tape around that baby. Just put it right around the ear holes and up under the chin. Maybe staple it to his forehead.
Spoken like a true coach.
Yeah.
Patch him up.
Whatever it takes.
Norman Dale from the Hoosiers.
He's got to stay on the field. Come on, they got to get this play in.
5:24 and ticking. Tied at 17. We'll watch the back judge to see the hand go up at 5 seconds. Hasn't yet, so they still have time.
Not much.
5:15 left.
Ready to go right about now.
It's Asamoah. Finds a gap, 40, 35, 30, Asamoah to the 20, Brian to the 15, 10, 5, and he outruns everybody for the touchdown. 5:02 left to go, and the Stallions take the lead at 23-17.
Well, the good news is for DeSales, they scored a touchdown. The bad news is there's 5 minutes left, and Hartley gets the ball back, and the DeSales defense has been out there a long time.
Asamoah takes it the distance, 41 yards to make it a six-point cushion. And again, you talk about hitting that point with acceleration. That's what Osamoa did. By the time he was at the line of scrimmage, Larry, he was full bore.
And there was one tackler left, and he exploded right through his arms, right through the safety's arms. It was beautiful run, beautiful cutback. Big extra point here.
McNally to hold. DeMaceo to make it a seven-point cushion. Snap, kick, plenty of leg. It's up. It's good. 24-17 Stallions. 5:02 left to go. We'll pause for 30 seconds. This is the CCL Game of the Week here on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820.
Ohio Dominican University is Central Ohio's only Catholic university with an education that stretches your mind and strengthens your Catholic faith.
U.S. News and World Report calls ODU a top-tier Midwest university.
High-achieving students will want to explore our honors program or early admission programs to med school or physician assistant studies.
And some of our master's programs, including our MBA, are available with just one extra year of study.
Connect your passion with God's purpose for your life.
Learn more at ohiodominican.edu.
They're at the half, and Reynoldsburg has a 42-14 lead over Central Crossing. Westerville Central has just scored, cutting the Pick North lead to 21-16.
Mm-hmm. Reynoldsburg playing like a mad football team after last week. Osamoa, 41 yards. DeMaceo, the PAT, three plays, 65 yards, 50 seconds off the clock. Boots over 100 yards. Osamoa's over 80 yards, so that 1-2 punch has accounted for about 200 yards of rushing.
Yep.
Well, you mentioned that we'll see this.
And
the kick goes
physical.
To the end zone.
It's physical yards.
Yeah.
These are not like, oh, we had a 75-yard run. These are physical, downhill, level off and hit people runs.
Hover tracks back to the 5-yard line, but he just looks at that one, goes 7 yards deep. And you mentioned it. We'll bring it out to the 20. All right, you're the Hawks. You get it back. 5:02 left to go. They've reset the timeouts, so indeed each team does have two timeouts remaining. I thought the Hawks were called for a timeout. If you're Brian Birchfield, what do you want to see out of this drive?
Well, you're going to give the ball to your best running back, and that's going to be Marquette Dixon. He's going to get the ball downhill, but be careful of Cameron Culver on the edges. It's the same thing Hartley always does. They run jet sweep, and they run that toss ISO play. It's what they do, and they're good at it.
Normally, you'd get ready to head downstairs, but we're going to keep you up here for a while now.
I'm not leaving.
First and 10 from the 20-yard line. Culver in a slot to the top. Backs offset. Ruby from the pistol. Rolling. Looking, throwing, pass. Culver's got it up across the 25 near the 28-yard line before he steps out. Picks up 7 or 8 on the play. We'll see where his left foot went out of bounds. That was the foot that was the lead foot. It'll be second down and short, and that only took about, 5 seconds off the clock.
Cameron Culver went in short motion, and DeSales made no adjustment at all to it, and he was wide open. I mean, at some point, you have to cover their fastest guy, I think, in the flats.
5 seconds to gain 7 yards. Second down and 3 from the 27.
Well, this is the kind of passing attack that if Hartley implements this short passing game, they're going to, I don't know how you beat them down the road.
Two to the top, one to the bottom. Backs offset again. The tight shotgun look again. The handoff in stride across the 30, the 35, up to the 37-yard line. And a flag at the end of the play. As the handoff that time coming around was Anthony Whitney, and there's a flag back at the 28-yard line.
Now, Marquette Dixon just pancaked Osamoa, and I'm not sure what they called on Osamoa. He absolutely got pancaked.
Called holding on the defense.
I mean, I was watching the play. He was holding on for dear life. He got pancaked. He absolutely got pancaked. Marquette Dixon just put him on his backside. I don't know exactly how you call holding on the guy who's getting blocked. But they did.
What a time for Whitney to spring a play, the junior, with a touch. We mentioned earlier he had one catch for a touchdown.
He got fresh legs, you know.
First and 10 from just past the 45-yard line. 4:40 left to go. That's a lifetime for the Hawks. They check the wristband again for the play. Ruby says something to the running back and the wide receiver to the left. Now under center. And hand off in stride. There's a flag down. Do we have motion on the play?
Nope. Yeah, they're looking
Manley,
formation.
40, 35, 30, 25, 20, but it's coming back. Yep. He's going to take it the distance with 4:23 left to go. Picks it 54
formation.
Yards.
The wide receiver on this side was definitely in the backfield. They had 5 in the backfield.
Flag resting at the 41.
Yep.
And there's the procedural call against the Hawks.
Harley's had 2 huge runs called back because of penalties.
The other was a 70-yarder by Culver in the first half. So march it back 5 with 4:23 left to go. Chris Sawyer, the offensive coordinator for the Hawks. Multiple sets, lots of jet sweeps. The big look versus the small look. I love how they distinguish it, the rabbits and the rhinos.
Well, what they do is they run the same plays. They just do them out of multiple formations, and if they find something that you don't adjust well to, you're going to see a lot of it.
4:23 left to go. First and 15 now from the Hawk 41-yard line. They trailed the Sales 24-17. Onaga in the backfield, now the lead man for Dixon.
Now Culver's going to have to get up on the line of scrimmage. They're going to get that penalty again. There we go.
From the 41. They look for a gap. There's nothing there on the sweep, the
bubble.
Jet sweep, and the ball's free at the end. Do they have it? Let's wait to see. Yes, DeSales has the football. They come up with a football at the bottom of the stack. It'll be the last man up who has the football. I think it was recovered by big number 61 for DeSales, and yep. That is Luke Barber.
He has had a fantastic game inside tonight. I mean, we haven't called his name much because the running is so intense in the inside that you can't tell who's making the plays, but you know when there's a scrum, it's Barber and Mullins at the bottom of it.
You know, I hate to say this because we've seen some great running backs, great plays, but if this holds up, that could be the good hands play of the game right there.
Or the bad hands play. We can't.
No, Barber makes the play. He's got the good hands. Glasses half full, sir. Wow, teacher. First and 10 from the 39-yard line, 4:13 left.
Everybody doesn't get a star, and we all don't go to Dairy Queen, okay? It's just not the way the world works.
No, sorry, sir.
Okay.
First and 10 from the 39 for the Stallions. Each team with two timeouts remaining.
It's going to be downhill running here.
It's a booth time. Yes, it is. Toss up the middle. Inside the 36, falls forward to the 35. Picks up about four on the second down and six, approaching 4 minutes left to go.
The question will be, if they don't get the first down here, will they try a 52-yard field goal?
If Lucky will check in, are they going to go unbalanced here, perhaps? Perkin will check out.
Nope, they're okay. They've got a tight end. They got two tight ends in the game.
They're going to milk that clock. They're going to wait for the back judge to put the hand up with 5 seconds, and he does so now. Toss goes to Booth.
Oh.
35-30. Spins. What a spin move. Gets him down to the 26-yard line, and that's enough for a Stallion first down with 3:29 left to go. Talk about running downhill and at 245 pounds to boot.
James Reese III just got a hand on him. That's 240 pounds running downhill, angry at you. And you trip him up. That's a pretty good play for the defense.
Alonzo Booth keeps it moving. 3:20 left to go. A play signaled in along the near sidelines for the Stallions here at Alumni Stadium. The locals, a happy group, the student section on their feet, the band playing. This is what high school football on a Friday night in Central Ohio is all about.
Absolutely.
Booth again to the right side. Little gap, 25, and tripped up at the 20-yard line. Somebody just got his ankle.
I think the
Turf Monster?
The Turf Monster got him. The Turf Gnome got him. They paint that guy green. You can't see him. He jumps up in the worst time.
There is a full moon. The ball at the 20-yard line. Second down and four with 2:45 left to go. Well, who's your headliner now for the Martin J. Mitchell Insurance Good Hands Player of the Game?
I think it's going to have to be Alonzo Booth.
Yeah, at this point.
I mean, he's rushed for 143 yards. He's got a touchdown. He's done a lot of dirty work tonight. A lot of dirty work.
Second down and four from the 20. 2.5 left to go.
But
it's not over.
That presupposes that the Sales wins.
Backs from an eye. Booth again off the left side. 20, 15. Rumbles to the outside. Wants to stay in bounds and gets knocked down inside the five. It's going to stop the clock. It's first and goal Stallions with 2:13 left to go. And, boy, he just iced the award right there.
Well, one of the things that I said earlier in the game that surprised me is that they didn't put Darius Mullins in crucial situations. Well, he's in there now.
Now, yep.
And he was the lead blocker on that play, and he just cleared out a hole that you or I could have maybe gotten to. Well, all right, possibly gotten to.
At 6'5 and just about 320 pounds. He's listed at 320.
320 is his right leg. You should see his left leg.
Be kind.
He's a big man, and he's athletic. I am being kind.
Gain of 16, first and goal inside the 4-yard line. Everybody near the line of scrimmage. Hand off, and do they take it in? Nope, they don't. DeSales said they do. Yes, now we get the signal. Near side, touchdown. The Stallions get the score with 2:06 left to go. Delayed call on the touchdown, and DeSales now with the cushion at 30-17. Alonzo Booth gets another score, and the lead now up to 13 points. Nail in the coffin?
Absolutely. I mean, 206, unless something really bizarre happens, you're going to kick the ball into the end zone on the kickoff, so you're not going to get a return. You're going to have to go 80 yards in 206 and then get the ball back and do it again.
Larry, there were 18 guys in that scrum. Tomasio to make it a 14-point cushion.
18 might be low.
More than 22, we've got an issue. And there's the snap. The kick, it is up, and it is good. 31-17, 206 left to go in this one. We'll pause for 30 seconds on the CCL Game of the Week on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820.
There are many ways to listen to AM 820 on the radio, online, and on smartphones. Listen live on your Android and iPhone using St. Gabriel Radio's very own app, available from your app store. You can also get the Catholic perspective on your computer. Just go to stgabrielradio.com and use the listen button at the top of the homepage. Tune into the faith as you cruise across town and around the world.
They are heading to overtime at Hagley Field. Waterson and St. Charles are tied at 7.
Alonzo Booth, 30 carries in this contest, 163 yards, two touchdowns. Takes it in from 3 yards out. Tomasio, the PAT, five plays, 39 yards, 207 off the clock. Some people wondered, can Alonzo Booth be the man in a big game? He's proven that here tonight for the Stallions, playing four quarters as they have a 14-point cushion. Because let's be honest, when you look at some of the scores for DeSales early on, they weren't tested. Lancaster was 28-7. The team from Canada was 49-12. Then against Canal Winchester's old school, it was 47-7. This will be returned from Culver inside the 5 to the 10. Cameron, 15, carries defenders out to the 20-yard line. And it's the same as getting a touchback, except for the Hawks. It burns some time off the clock. So with 1:57 left to go, there's a flag now that was just tossed. A flag just tossed after the play was over with 1:57 left to go. If it's against the Stallions, Ryan Wiggins is livid right now with this team, saying, play with composure. You're up by 14. Don't let anything get to you. Just yell scoreboard if you have to. Mark Riley says, dead ball, unsportsmanlike conduct is the call against the Stallions. So moving out to the 35-yard line. A shorter field, but still the Hawks down by two scores. They have to go 65 yards and then get the ball back. They have two timeouts remaining. Larry has vacated the press box. He is headed down to the field to talk to Ryan Wiggins and also to present the good hands player of the game, courtesy of Martin J. Mitchell, to Alonzo Booth. If nothing changes, low snap, Ruby rolls to his left, looks downfield, guns it, pass is complete up across the 40-yard line. Manley at the 45, falls forward to the 46. That'll be a first down. That'll stop the clock with 1:48 left to go. Thanks for joining us tonight on AM 820 and online at stgabrielradio.com. Get that TuneIn Radio app and listen to St. Gabriel Radio all the time. We appreciate you listening no matter where you are, in the United States or anywhere around the world. First and 10 from the 46 of the Hawks. 1:40 and ticking. Ruby rolling left again, looking downfield, looking, tucks, runs, tight ropes and sidelines, and goes out of bounds right at midfield. Picks up four. But more importantly for the Hawks, they're down to 93 seconds, 1:33 left on the clock. So it'll be second down and six right at the 50-yard line. The Hawks with a valiant effort in this one. They lost in week number one of the campaign. Remember, had to play on the road. In fact, their first six games were on the road. They lost to Toledo Central Catholic 31-28. Beat Central Crossing 42-7 here on AM 820. And pounded Marion Franklin last week 48-0. Culver around the right side. Cameron, 50, 45, 40, 35. Culver, 30, puts his head down, and it's down at the 28-yard line. And that's another first down, and it stops the clock again for the Hawks with 1:24 left to go. I think Larry Wolf is down on the sidelines as well now. Larry, can you hear me down there, sir?
I can.
You're down there on the Stallion sideline. Can you talk about the atmosphere?
Well, they're excited to just see this thing get over. The problem is there's still a minute 22 to go, and if they're not careful, they're going to give up a late touchdown here, and then we're going to be in that very, very scary area where you have an onside kick, and you know how that goes. So
Right now, Ryan Wiggins trying to get his guys under control here and just finish the game. Forget the scoreboard, play the play, and not worry about a minute 22 in the celebration. You got plenty of time to celebrate, win the game. This drives you nuts when you're coaching. I'm telling you right now, it drives you nuts.
Injury on the field. There's a player along the far side. It looks to be a DeSales Stallion who's cramping, so they attend to him. And Larry, as you peer up towards the crowd, a good stands full of folks here for DeSales, and what do you see along the far side for the Hawks?
I'll tell you what, this is a great crowd for both Catholic schools. I mean, this is one of those, it's not a completely packed house, but then again, you got, Hartley doesn't have the number of students to have a packed house, and DeSales has a very good crowd in their home stands. It's pretty loaded, and they're down around the fences down here. It's a big crowd, and these Stallions are ready to celebrate, but they've got a minute 22. They better attend to some time here and do the job. Because Hartley's not going to quit. I'm telling you right now, they don't care how much time is left, they're not going to quit.
Well, they can onside kick. You know they can do that. Ty Van Fossen.
They've got 20 different onside kicks.
Yeah.
They practice 20 onside kicks.
Well, that's all they used to do.
I know.
And Brad Birchfield said many times we did that because we were horrible on kick coverage.
Right. You don't have to worry about coverage if you just onside kick it.
Van Fossen trying to work off that cramp right now.
What Van Fossen is doing right now is he's limping out there. He's starting to get an idea of what it's like to be my age. This goes on just about every morning for me. I have to take a check. Yeah, I've got feet. Yep, they're working.
Either do that or he can go to the Natural History Museum as well, too.
Right, right.
First and 10 from the 28. 1:22 left to go. Do you put it up again, Larry, if you're the Hawks?
Absolutely.
You got Culver and Manley to the bottom.
You get your best player of the ball in space, and that's Cameron Culver.
Oh, they're going to hand it off to Dixon. Yep. 25-20, 15, looks for an opening. He's got the first down right at the 15. Falls down on the other side of it, so that'll stop the clock with 1:09 left to go.
I'm going to tell you something. Down here on the sideline, the speed of these kids is unbelievable. I mean, I'd forgotten what it looks like. These guys can really get after it.
Whitney to the bottom, Culver and Manley to the top. Ruby rolling that way, looking, buying time, then throws it away. With 56 seconds left to go. Lives to fight another day. Larry, as you look down there at the sales defense, do you sense it was more of a prevent defense, or was Hartley just effective moving the football on the stride?
Well, Hartley's doing stuff that Hartley doesn't normally do. So DeSales all week is practicing against this ground pound and all this stuff, and Hartley's getting them into space, and it's something that that Hartley can do. They have the athletes to get you in space and really cause some trouble. And this is a very talented DeSales team. So you're watching a Hartley team show what they're capable of doing right now.
Two wide to the top, one to the bottom. Backs offset. Ruby on a second down and 10 from the 15-yard line. He's going to hand it off in stride. Inside the 15, inside the 10. Do you burn a timeout here? The ball down to around the 9-yard line. The clock ticking 48, 47, 46, 45. So far they have not burned a timeout.
There was a fumble on that play, and Thomas Kasmer came up with it. That ball was loose on the field, and Kasmer jumped right on it.
Now the Hawks burn a timeout. They'll take it with 42 seconds left to go. Let's go back to the studios now, and Ryan and Lee, 31-17, Hawks driving. Your thoughts about this game and other contests, gentlemen?
It's kind of unusual to see so much fear that a team can put into another team when they're down two touchdowns. I mean, Coach Wolf's down there saying, hey, this game's not over, a minute 22 left. That shows you the respect of, between these two teams, I think.
Indeed, that's the case, and the excitement level really picked up at the start of the second half of this contest. I mean, it was there in the first half, but it became exponential with the start of the third quarter. And the Hawks now need that play. They've got the ball inside the 10 at the 9-yard line. It's going to be third down and four from there. And you know it's obviously four down territory. But, Larry, you're reaching a point now where you need to score more rapidly. So do you look to the end zone here with two strikes?
You have two strikes to get it to the end zone, because if it gets under 25 or 30 seconds, it's going to be difficult even if you do all the impossible things.
Again, Whitney to the bottom. Let's see if he's got single coverage. Too wide at the top. He's going to join everybody the far side. Dixon rolling to the right inside the five and has a first and goal. Hawks inside the three near the 2-yard line with 37 seconds left to go. So that's going to stop the clock now. Remember, the Hawks have only one timeout remaining. It's going to be first down and goal inside the two. Rapidly, they come up to the line. Do you spike it? Do you run the play?
Run the play.
Ruby got it, hands it off. Do they break the play?
He did not.
So you're going to have to burn another timeout with half a minute left to go, and the clock ticks down to 29 seconds.
Hey, I have to tell you something. I had a great view of that. This is not a bad place to call a game from right down here at the goal line. This is kind of nice. You guys kicked me out of the press box again. I'm coming down here.
I think you're outside the coaching box. This could be illegal. I have to check
on this. Listen, when I was inside the coaching box, it was illegal.
You're the Matt Andrews of this team, the former Marty Bannister, if you will, too.
Yeah. Even when I coached, they didn't let me coach. That was a smart job by my assistants.
So how close is that ball to the goal line? It looks like it's breathing on it.
About a foot.
Okay.
Maybe a foot and a half.
31-17. Do you keep it on the ground here, I assume?
Absolutely.
Is it just Ruby on the sneak?
I don't know if I'd sneak it. Look, you got a 225-pound hammer in the backfield, and you got big physical linemen, and you've got Cone in front of him at 230 pounds. My goodness. And in front of him.
Do they triple stack?
They got the triple stack here. So
okay.
There's going to be a lot of beef going through some hole somewhere.
This is where I never wanted to be a DB.
This is where you don't want to be an offensive lineman or a defensive lineman, because you're going to be at the bottom of a pile that's going to weigh about a ton.
Blackman up there, and again, he's kind of as a wing, though. Let's see if he cheats across, though. They toss it to Dixon, and he breaks the plane for the touchdown. 26 ticks left, 31-23 in favor of DeSales, and you know that an onside kick is going to be forthcoming.
Well, get yourself ready for your onside kick. Now, Brad's got about 8,000 different onside kicks. So this is, I know it sounds crazy, but stranger things have happened.
And if you're Hartley, do you take a timeout after this then to talk about what you need to do to make sure? Or did you, that's right, you burned your final timeout.
It wouldn't matter. You already know what you have to do.
All right. Agresti for the PAT to make it a 7-point game. Boffman to hold. Long count. Snap a little high. There's the kick. Plenty of leg. It is up, and it is good. 31-24. 26 seconds left to go. I'm Randy Reinhardt up top. Larry Wolf down along the sidelines at the 5-yard line. Signing autographs down there, it looks like now.
Well, I finally found somebody that knows me and likes me.
It took a while.
Yeah, I know.
4,000
people
here. 4,000
people here, and I finally found two idiots. What can I tell you?
Wow, are we on the same page or what?
Yeah, it's hard to be humble when you're average.
All right. And again, you know, Larry, with the rule change a couple of years ago, you cannot have that suicide squad all on one side of the field on the onside kick, too.
Yeah, and I don't know. That's another one of those things I'm going, why? I mean, if they're afraid that the game is too physical and they don't like kickoff, then take the darn play out of the game. You know, you got to play football at some point. And the onside kick was exciting when you could line up nine guys on one side and just say, boys, here we come. And, you know, the poor defenders are over there, you know, they're praying that it doesn't come to them. But it now it's a little bit different.
Dixon now, 21 carries, 150 yards, two touchdowns. That was a one-yard touchdown run by Dixon. And that was a nine-play, 65-yard drive that took 1:31 off the clock. So the ball's teed up squarely in the middle of the field for Agresti.
I'm going to sneak in the coach's box here and see if I can't get a bird's-eye view of this baby, because I got a feeling it's coming right toward me.
He's got six near side, four far side.
He's got to be coming this way.
He's coming near side. There's the hop, and it's a three ball knocked around, but scooped up by the Stallions.
It's on.
They had that second hop that you always talk about, Larry, but the Stallions come up with a football on the bottom of the piles, number 20, and that is Anthony Cerrone, the backup quarterback and son of one of the coaches up here in the box.
And I'm sure Dad's happy that his son made that play, but I'm going to tell you something right now. That was executed about as perfectly as you can execute it, and why does that surprise anybody? It's what Brad and Brad's teams have always done. They execute the littlest details to perfection.
And it's hard to predict that second hop, and they got the high bounce in that second hop and couldn't get it as Cerrone was there, and now with a first and 10 from the 47, 22 seconds, Silvestri takes a knee. How about his job as a mentor in this contest? How would you rate that?
Oh, he did a great job. I mean, he did what he has to do. He threw the ball effectively. He ran the offense. He checked the time. He did all those things. Listen, these are two of the best teams in the state of Ohio, period. Not just Division III and Division IV or whatever, period. Because of the way they play the game. Not because they're athletes, but because of the way they play the game.
I don't want to say Larry's on top of the action, but he's going to be part of the team handshakes if he goes any further out there right now. But what a contest we had tonight, week number four. That playoff atmosphere early in the season, it's hard to match it, but we had it here tonight. And the Sales got the upper hand. Alonzo Booth was electric in this contest. And let's talk about, too, the great job by Brian Asamoah. He was tremendous as well, making the plays when they had to. And they get the victory 31-24, and I think already Larry is standing by with Ryan Wiggins on cue. Let's go down.
Well, I'm down here with a very happy Ryan Wiggins, and I'll tell you what, that was a good old-fashioned CCL Rock'em Sock'em football game, and your guys came out with a 7-point victory. You got to be happy about the way they play.
Absolutely. You know, it's just such a hard-fought game, and some sloppy at some times, probably both ways at the end, but gee, everybody's putting everything they got out there, leaving it all on the field. Hard-fought game. Unbelievable.
On both sides of the ball, offensively and defensively, both teams had moments of outstanding play. They had big plays called back. You had some big plays called back. outstanding football game. Alonzo Booth is our good hands player of the game. He's the most valuable player. He scored a couple touchdowns and rushed for about 9 million yards, and I think he probably lost a pound or two tonight in his heat.
Yeah, he did a great job, and again, we knew it'd come down to just a few plays, you know, and we just made probably another play or two more than they did.
Well, a great victory for the Stallions, and they remain undefeated, and it's off to game five now.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
All right, back up to you guys.
Number one in the state in Division Three, and nothing will change for the Stallions after this, and the Hawks, two losses on the campaign, but I'll tell you what, this may be the best 500 team I have ever seen as they fall in this one, the 31-24. We'll take a break. More of the postgame show in just a moment. And don't forget, coming up after this, it's the AMA 20 Scoreboard Show. Ryan and Lee will get you up to date on all the games and all the scores in week number four. This is the CCL Game of the Week, presented by the Mount Carmel Foundation here on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AMA 20.
The family-run Carfagna's Kitchen offers the best in casual, full-service Italian dining, featuring authentic handmade pastas, pizzas, strombolis, gourmet salads, and grilled sandwiches. Carfagna Kitchen's weekly specials include Mondays, $5 bottle house wines, Wednesday is dollar glass wine night, and Thursdays, prime rib night with two sides for under $19. Carfagna's Kitchen is located one block east off I-71 on Polaris Parkway.
Get 0% financing for 72 months on almost all remaining 2016 Ford vehicles at Bob Boyd Ford in Lancaster. This is Bobby Dawes, and for a limited time, you can buy a new 2016 Ford F-150, the best-selling vehicle in the world, and pay 0% up to 72 months. Shop us 24/7 at BobBoyd.com and experience for yourself. The best deals are always on Route 33 at the Bob Boyd Auto Family. Good people, great deals. It's the Bob Boyd way.
Because from the moment we meet, you become the most important patient we could possibly have. It's why we'll go above and beyond today. And go even further tomorrow. Because caring for you is an honor and a blessing. At Mount Carmel, you are the reason for everything we do. You are why we seek the best people, with the highest levels of skill, training, and experience, and why we invest in the best equipment, from life-saving technology to healing spaces with all the comforts of home, so you can get better, so you can live, work, play, love. Mount Carmel, because of you.
Education First Credit Union is your total mortgage source. Whether you are looking to buy your first home, refinance your existing home, or take advantage of your home's equity, we are a mortgage lender you can trust. We take pride in providing the most comprehensive line of mortgage products at very competitive rates and terms. Education First Credit Union is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 811029, and federally insured by the National Credit Union Administration.
Welcome back one final time to Alumni Stadium, where DeSales gets by Hartley 31-24 in this one. Let's take a look at the total offense in this contest. Hartley with 359 yards total offense, DeSales 263, 297 rushing for the Hawks, 62 passing. DeSales breaks it down this way, 249 on the ground and 14 in the air. First downs 18-16 in favor of the Hawks. This is a big stat here, too. The penalties, 10 for 88 yards, 5 for 55. The Hawks with twice as many penalties as the Stallions. And two turnovers by Hartley, one in each half. Those two of those penalties, remember, Larry, negated somewhere around about 130 yards of offense for Bishop Hartley in this contest. You look at the individual leaders, Booth 30 carries, 163 yards, two touchdowns. Asamoah had 10 carries for 86 and two touchdowns. Dixon for Hartley, 21 carries, 150 yards and two scores. Culver, 9 for 49. Ruby, 5 carries, 27 yards. He scored a touchdown. He was 4 of 8 passing for 62 yards. Just some of the numbers. We had scoring in every quarter. And the finals, 31-24. DeSales, 4-0. Hartley, 2-2. And Larry, your thoughts down there on the sidelines.
Well, the dynamic duo of Booth and Asamoah for DeSales, and the dynamic duo of Marquette Dixon and Cameron Culver for Hartley. I mean, it's like they negated each other, which is exactly why you ended up with a 31-24 game. I mean, both teams punched and counterpunched all night long. And if it hadn't been for the big penalties, and you can say, well, you know, those big penalties cost Hartley the game. But DeSales was part of those penalties. DeSales was so active on the defensive side that sometimes you have to hold, sometimes you have to block in the back to make those big plays. So, you'll have to look at the film to know for sure what all those things were about. But what a great, great game. This reminds me of the old CCL where every night was just an absolute bludgeoning. And good news is it didn't look like anybody got banged up.
Larry, final thoughts from you, both teams, both head coaches. First of all, you're Brian Wiggins. What do you get out of this game?
Well, you get out of this game, A, healthy, B, you're 4-0, C, you beat a very, very good Hartley team, so you have to feel good about that. And finally, now you go on to the rest of your schedule, and you've got, I think they've got Worthington Kilbourne next week, and then they're going to end up with Watterson and St. Charles down the road. But this sets them up for a playoff run, because they're going to probably end up with enough points to do the kinds of things that they need to do to be at home and all that good stuff. For Hartley, they're 2-2, and they might be the best 500 team in America. The schedule they play was brutal. It was front-ended and front-loaded, and so that's the price you pay for playing those kinds of teams. But obviously they'll rebound, and they'll probably win 8 again and just go to the playoffs and get to game 14 or 15 again.
And that's the other thing too, Larry. That's the price of being a state champion. It's hard to get teams to play you too, so you have to play the first six on the road this season. So that was difficult for them as well too.
Nobody wants to play you when you're good.
Well, Larry, after you sign autographs, you want to come back upstairs then?
No, I like these people. All right. They're nice.
All right, we'll clean up after your mess.
Okay, thank you.
Larry Wolf. Going into the sunset there. What a contest we had tonight. 31-24 the final. Don't forget, next week, Benedictine at Watterson. It all starts with our preview show at 6 o'clock. Different kickoff time, though, next week. We go to 7:30, one final time during the regular season. Great night for high school football. Thank you for sharing part of your Friday evening with us, whether you were listening online at St. Gabriel Catholic Radio or on AM 820. 31-24, the final DeSales wins for Larry Wolf and Scott Rex and Greg Sivaldi. Don't forget, want to remind you, coming up next, it's the AM 820 Scoreboard Show. I'm Randy Reinhart. Good night, and God bless.
You have been listening to the CCL Football Game of the Week. The CCL Football Game of the Week has been brought to you by the Mount Carmel Foundation. Your play-by-play announcer tonight was Randy Reinhart, along with color analyst Coach Larry Wolf. Join us again next week as Bishop Watterson hosts Cleveland Benedictine. The coverage beginning at 6 p.m. with the Catholic High School Football Preview Show. Get all the area scores with the AM 820 Scoreboard Show next.